Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Great to catch up with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about the green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. Not going to eat the floor sandwich, though, most likely. Guys still have a bet out on it. I dropped my egg sandwich on the floor this morning.
On the where?
I know. I keep saying floor, but it's the parking garage, so it's the ground.
Yeah, that's not the floor.
I would
consider the floor sandwich. I'm not considering the parking garage ground sandwich.
Well,
no, thank you.
We also discussed that it's an English muffin sandwich, and it would be one thing if just the English muffin part hit the ground, but the egg part hit the ground, and that's when...
You're using the word we really liberally here. I don't know if we thought that, Jen, or if you
Chewy and I did. Chewy said that. Just dust it off and it's the English muffin.
It's got a shell.
Jason, yeah, exactly. A hard candy shell.
Wait, is it it's homemade, so it was not in any sort of wrapper?
That's correct. I just had it on a paper plate.
You carried a paper plate your sandwich?
Yeah. Of course, again, as we've indicated, that was not the best vessel for the sandwich.
You think? Shocked by the outcome of this story. All right, sorry.
How could this have possibly happened?
Yeah, I'm bothered by how fascinated I am by this story.
Well, we just spent 15 minutes on it, Jason, so...
So did you trip?
It just had a lot of stuff in my hands. I had a water bottle. I had my bag. I was fumbling for my keys to hit, the boop the door and just drop the sandwich. And
boop
again,
the door.
Had it just been the English muffin that hit the ground, I might have been like, give it a little, dust it off.
But it
opened up and the egg hit the ground. So
yeah,
again,
you're cooked. Yeah, it's all open.
I think it's a no go. And speaking of
Chewy ate it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking about it. Well, Jason, football players are disgusting. Some of the things that we do, it's just gross. So grossness doesn't really bother me.
No,
that's true.
The coldness of the eggs would bother Chewy more than...
Cold eggs are gross to me.
Than anything else that happened to that sandwich.
Yeah.
Jason, speaking of are we going to see Jaden Reed out on the field this week?
I don't think so, but I can't say that with 100% certainty. I don't think... one limited Friday practice where you caught some balls and ran some routes, and then a couple of jog throughs are really conducive for bringing him back. I kind of thought Chicago was the target all along, but it's not out of the realm of possibility, right? And certainly when you play the Lions, there is a kind of all hands on deck mentality, but yeah. They have erred mostly, not entirely, right, with Brandon McManus and some of the other decisions they've made. Even though Doc McKenzie's not the head honcho of the medical staff now, and he's segueing into retirement, they have still erred on the McKenzie level of caution most of the time, and this would certainly go against that. I mean, he just hasn't had... enough. And I remember doing a story during my time at ESPN.com where it was the second time Rodgers broke his collarbone and Charles Woodson offered the most important piece of advice I've ever heard for someone coming back from a collarbone. He said, in order to make sure you're ready to play, what you need to do is fall out of bed. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, you got to fall out of bed. You fall out of bed, land on the floor, you feel good, and you're ready to go. I said, did you do that? He's like, yeah, of course I did. I'm like, this is a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
What a ridiculous question. Why are you asking me this?
Right. Right, exactly. Well, and what a ridiculous concept. That's why, Charles. Like, so if Jayden Reed is ready in terms of running routes and all that kind of stuff, great. But, like, they have not even, like, he still has to collide with people. And I know he can do that in the Hudson Center and you know, they can put some pads on Flea or something. But I think he probably needs a padded practice next week, not that they tackle to the ground or anything, but just to kind of knock the rust off, quite literally. So I would be surprised, but I would not rule it out.
Hold on, Jason. I have a question for you. I don't understand the falling out of bed concept. Is it that
you get used to getting hit?
So you fall out of bed, and if it doesn't hurt, you're good. But if you fall out of bed and it hurts, you shouldn't play.
Yeah, I don't. Again, Charles is one of the top five most cool, like, customers I've ever met. Like, you're instantly both elevated by being, you know, kind of the rising tide lifts all boats. You feel cooler when you're around him, but at the same time, you know, oh my God, I could never, ever, 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 ever be this cool. So it was a little bit hard to say, like, and I think the conversation was actually on Wilde and Tausch, if I remember correctly. It was like the second year that we had the show. And we had him on, and when he said this, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
So you're doing this? He's like, Jason, yeah, I definitely did it.
Jason,
okay,
the closest thing I did to that is I made JT, who was my roommate, sleep with the window open the night before the NFC Championship game against Carolina, where it was minus 20 degrees. He was so pissed at me.
You're trying to acclimate?
But it got us ready. He was so mad.
Psycho.
Calling for extra blankets. Jason, how close to this is a must win if the next five, and think whatever you want about the Bears, is Lions, Bears, Broncos, Bears, Ravens?
I don't know if this is a must win, but if you want to win the division, it's really, really important, right? I mean, you already got these guys once, right? You're playing on the road. It's Thanksgiving, which they've had, like, I think, and I don't have the stats in front of me, so I'd have to ask Joshie, but I think they've been pretty bad for the last, like, decade. Now, obviously, they were bad for part of that decade, but they've, even when they've been good, they've lost Thanksgiving games at a surprising rate for the team that gets to host them every year. But, look, you're on the road. You are obviously also playing on a short week, although not as short of a week as the Lions, because of the Lions playing almost an extra quarter of football. But I think it's a game that you really, really, really want to win, obviously. And if you do, it really helps your chances of winning the division. Because I'm sorry, I don't believe in the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong when they come to Lambeau on December 7th, and then when we go to Chicago on, what is it, the 20th of, it's a Saturday game. But as of right now, they've beaten a bunch of backup quarterbacks. I think they hired the right coach. I think he's going to make that quarterback good. I don't know if that's actually occurred or if this is a little paper tigery, this record that they have. But look, these are still the bullies on the block. Until they're dethroned, the Lions are the NFC North creme de la creme. And you go in there and beat them on Thanksgiving when they're the only game in town. Why is it at noon? I used to like the 11:30 thing. It was unique.
Yeah, we asked Shefty about that last week. He didn't have an answer for us either.
Okay. And you didn't discuss it on Gabe Night on national radio?
Did not, no. Did not.
Okay. Is that what we're calling it now?
That's what Jason's calling it.
That's what I've decided, yes. I think it's perfect. Yes, exactly. I can't wait till he's, I mean, I would hate to lose him on our team, but when he's full-time, I think he should demand that. My point is that, no, it's not a must-win. They can still win the division and lose this game, but I do think it's really important that they win the division and get a home game in the playoffs. So this would go a long way toward that.
Jason, is Anthony Belton going to be the guy at right guard moving forward? Or was that just, hey, we think he's playing better, so he's going to get all the snaps this past week in their win against the Vikings?
Yeah. So You're a very busy guy. I don't assume people listen to our show. Did you happen to catch our show yesterday at all?
I was in and out. I did not. If you talked about Anthony Belton, I did not catch that conversation.
Okay, and this is not. Oh, I talked about this. I needed to bring this up because I was ridiculed and misquoted, mispresented
by Tausch. I could never imagine that happening.
I know you're shocked. Like someone dropping their egg sandwich on the floor of the parking garage. You're stunned, but. So my suggestion was, yeah, that's great. They did this, you know, kind of heavy run game approach, right?
Yep.
And LaFleur knew what he was doing, so he kept him in there. Because I think Jordan Morgan has shown that run blocking is not his forte at this point. So Tausch was asking me if I thought the same question you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know, because I think they got to throw the ball a ton more. To even as good as the Packers defense has been, I think they're going to have to score some points to win this game. I don't think 23 is going to be enough. And so I said, maybe Jordan Morgan is the better pass protector in that equation. So I don't think it's a slam dunk that you have Belton, you know, after the way they deployed him on Sunday. And Tausch turned that into me suggesting that they should have a guard who comes in when they're running the
sure.
ball, and a guard, and I'm like, wait, that's not what I said. But he thinks I'm a visionary now, so I'm gonna.
No, you can't do that. But you can't do that, Jason, because that just tells you
not.
like yes. Unless it's like
Thank
third,
you, Gabe.
Unless it's third and Thank seven you. Or something, right? Like. Okay, then everybody knows you're passing it anyway, so who cares who the right guard is?
This isn't even football 101. This is the test you take before to get into the football class.
Yeah. Like this is like we literally have this conversation about the tight ends now because they don't have Tucker Kraft anymore who can do it all. Someone compared to Chewy once upon a time and was 100% right. They've got a guy that Well, theoretically, he didn't catch the ball very well either. But they've got a guy that really doesn't block very well and runs routes and sometimes catches passes. And then they got two other dudes that have more of the blocking gene. But you can't just say, okay, we're going to pass every time Luke Musgrave is on the field. So, yeah, he was trying to make me look dumb, which he largely succeeded, but... Yeah, no, I don't think that it's a slam dunk that Anthony Belton goes the whole route at guard. I don't think that. I am curious. We got LaFleur late this afternoon. I am curious what he says about that.
Why do they believe in this rotation so much? Because obviously this isn't the first year. So this isn't the first time they've done this. They've rotated left tackle. They rotated right guard last year until Morgan got hurt, and then Sean Ryan eventually took over. I'm not aware of any other team doing this. Why do they think that this is the way to go? Especially when we always talk about... Because we always talk about... And you hear Tausch talk about it. You hear Blaga talk about it on with Homer when he does Green Bay Game Day. Like, the continuity of the five guys that constantly play is a big deal. And it seems like they're disrupting that by constantly rotating at guard.
Are they disrupting that or are they... throwing off the defensive line so they can't get a bead on who's playing at that specific position.
Can't imagine Aiden Hutchinson gives a rip who's lining up at right guard.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm with you. I don't understand it. You know, their argument is, you know, it gets guys' feet wet and they have, then if there's a situation where that guy has to play now, he hasn't just ridden the bench all season. Because, to your point, most coaches that aren't crazy don't do this, right? I mean, and then when Bruce Wilkerson has to play, Bruce Wilkerson has to play, and he doesn't rely on having rotated in during the 1996 season. Rather, he relies on when he first goes in there for the first time, hey, I've played in this league a long time. But, oops, they don't have a lot of guys that have played in the league a really long time that have that kind of experience to lean on. So, It is a unusual concept. I agree with you. I don't understand it. I agree with you. They continue to do it, and I don't agree with them.
Jason, before we let you go, is there anything the Packers can take from the 27-13 win over the Lions in Week 1? Is there anything that they did there that you think they should try to replicate? Is there anything, or are the teams too different now? You know, they're not going to catch the Lions by surprise? Because I look at the box score from that game, and it doesn't feel, even with the cast of characters that they have at their disposal now, it doesn't feel like it would be that difficult to duplicate some of those stat lines.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think obviously the Lions have changed some, right? I mean, now they've got Dan Campbell calling the plays. He's, I think, two of their three games with him calling the plays, they've been really explosive offensively, and then the game in the middle, they weren't. I think the most important thing that they have from that first game, and it's going to sound stupid, I understand that, is that they won. Because last year, the Lions got them twice, right? And the year before that, what did they do? They split, right? They won on Thanksgiving in Detroit, right? And then the year before that, in Rodgers' final game at Lambeau, they have nothing to play for and they beat him. And so I do think from a kind of a psyche perspective, you know, not ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead, but like they got after the bullies, and like, I don't always agree with Homer, obviously, but like Homer for that game and then the Washington game 4 days later, he gives the incorrect, based on the scoreboard, final score of those games. And he's right, because it wasn't that close. Like, they got that Tesla touchdown, which was a sick catch, by the way.
Oh, it was.
To make it 27-13, but that game was 27-6, right? Like, That's what it was. And so they not only beat them, but they throttled them. So I think that's one of the things. Now, that doesn't win the game for you on Thursday, but I do think that there's value in that. As far as how much, you know, they can repurpose from that, you know, again, I think the biggest thing is they can't let, and this is going to be brilliant analysis that people love when I come on your program, they can't let Jahmyr Gibbs get loose,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, hey, thanks, Jason. He had a 69-yard game-winning touchdown run, and he had like 237 rushing yards. But like, they're, to me, that's the matchup that if I am a Packers fan, I am nervous about, because even on Sunday, you know, Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason early on, they were kind of cooking running the football. And so that has been the one kind of Achilles heel of late for not in every game, but like three of the last four games now, where you're kind of like, oh, they're a little susceptible here. So to me, that's the biggest thing. And then obviously they got to, I am amazed. And again, it pains me because Tausch was the one who likes to say that he observed this first, and he's right, 100%. But like, you get Jared Goff off the spot, and he's just completely out of sorts. So they have to. They've got Micah Parsons. He chased them down at the end of that first game. They need their other guys to have pressure too. But if you can get after Jared Goff, he just feels like it's almost like that's. It takes away whatever superpowers he might have.
Well, I think the one thing Detroit learned, Jason, is you better give Penei Sewell some help, because he was horrible in that game. He was terrible in that game.
No, Chewy, I don't think they learned that lesson. They should keep him on that island.
Yeah.
Make sure he's going one-on-one as much as possible. Prove that he is worth the money you paid him at right tackle.
We'll see.
That's what I think they should do, but maybe I'm biased.
Great point by both of you. I have nothing to add to that.
Thank you very much.
Jason, we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
A blizzard of $300,000 in prizes is rolling into Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It is Arctic action. If you want in, there's three steps. Earn entries with your reward card December 1st through the 18th. Show up for the Thursday drawings and be ready for a chance to win from a weekly prize board. As a bonus, there will be a jackpot drawing for all the leftover prizes. Wrap up your year with Arctic action only at Pottawatomie. More information is available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.